Cheers!
Okay, cheers!
Is that yours or mine?
That's mine.
Sure?
Yes, Papa. Wow, sure Papa got lipstick now.
No, it's all lipstick. I look very like
Elle. Yeah, so messy.
You sure or not? Okay, I guess so.
Come.
Anyway, need a post switch. So
death has always been a certainty.
That's what I like about Anjali.
It has to be a celebration. Endless topics that we can talk about.
Dying to meet you.
Welcome to my podcast.
Hello!
Welcome back to Dying to Meet You.
And
for you, welcome back to Singapore after 10 days tour. In,
yes.
Where Africa, were you?
South Africa. I don't want to come back. See? Get this like Africa. Mm. I think I bought the entire Africa bag, man. I remember at the airport. Because I only brought one big luggage.
Yeah.
The thing about South Africa, especially Cape Town, or maybe not especially because I was in Cape Town for a longer time. But what I experienced is 4 seasons in one day.
Wow.
So you constantly, and everyone will tell you the same, you know, South African will say that you always need to have a jacket with you. And then, you know, I'm very kiafua and I'm very scared of cold. So I had like, them kiasu, you know, I have like, I don't know how, I brought 2 thick jackets.
Mm.
And then 2, you know, like just sweaters.
Yeah. Not enough.
I mean, I brought it, but then I have to layer up. So I have like people layering only one, and I'm like, oh no, I'm always double other people. And,
and during this trip, you met some wonderful guests.
Right? It was really lovely. So the thing is, I was there for almost a week at Cape Town to attend an entrepreneur organization, Global Leadership Conference. So at a conference, you know, it was nice to meet people from different countries, entrepreneurs from different countries.
Yeah,
that's where we connect. Because it's not just Singapore chapter, but chapters from Asia, from Europe, from US, they all came. So we had about 2,000 of us.
Ah.
So it was nice to connect with them. Most memorable one, I have to say, it has to be the connection that I have with people, you know, during my safari trip. So after Cape Town, I decided I wanted to do a solo trip. Wow. I did a solo traveling to...
Sounds like a midlife crisis. Right?
Yeah, you know. Like, oh, now that I have a child, I don't have the opportunity. You know, you seize every opportunity to be able to, like, go on your solo trip, to be with yourself, you know.
Discover the inner voice.
No husband, no kid. It's like, oh my God, peace, you know.
It's like the Burning Man minus the Burning Man.
Yes, that's true, yeah. So I went to, I decided to go to this safari for 4 days. Mm. I think ideally, if anybody wants to do a safari, plan for 5 days. I think 5 days is good. Because I actually flew into Johannesburg and everyone was telling me, oh my God, Johannesburg is more dangerous because Cape Town, basically it's much safer in Cape Town because I went salsa dancing and I actually initially, my friends were quite worried that, like, are you sure you can be alone?
Yeah.
So I told them, like, you know what, I'll be fine, you know, I can take some precaution. I know what to do. So the second day, I think they got so bored with salsa dancing because they don't salsa dance. So they still went with me, and then after one drink, I know they're all tired, jet lag and all that. So in the end, I actually took the cab back myself. I mean, ladies traveler, if you're traveling solo traveler, I think the key thing is always be smart. Don't listen to your AirPods, you know, don't listen to music when you're walking. Just be very conscious about what's around you. So every time I hop on into an Uber, since I have 2 phones, right, I will always pretend to leave a message to my other phone. And then like, hey, you know, I'm coming back in an Uber. Then I will say out the Uber
number. This is the number, this is a guy.
Yeah, just to let you know, he's going to drop me. I think, it's about 10 minutes, so I'll be there shortly. I'll see you. And then, just so that the Uber driver thinks that someone is waiting for you. But always take an Uber when you're in South Africa. Apparently, what I heard was that don't flag for a driver because usually the Ubers, they have good credits and before they are being employed as an Uber driver.
I mean, they said, right, in Africa, there's one in every 6 that is a rape case, 1 every 6 seconds.
Mm.
But this was, really on the internet, not sure how true that is. But.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of bad news and very poorly, like South Africa is poorly portrayed, but I love that country. I love the music. I've always liked Afro music, so I love the music. The dancers are really good, the food. Yeah, coincidentally, you know, it really suits my taste bud. Like, I remember they asked me whether I wanted to have this chicken, and I was like, chicken again. But it was a different type of cooking, and wow, it was just amazing. So, something I miss Chinese food, you know. I'm like craving for laksa. I told you, like, this morning, it's like, what what I miss the most? Laksa.
Laksa.
Yeah. And then chicken rice. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I should complete the Hainanese chicken rice.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah, so yeah, so South Africa, I think, you know, people are also telling me they carry guns illegally.
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful. So I mean, Cape Town is quite safe.
Mm.
Johannesburg, I was told not to go out after 6 p.m. Even in Cape Town, also, like, don't go out walking alone. So I did ask. There's certain streets where there are homeless people.
Yeah.
So you need to be aware which street, right? So I remember I was asking. I wanted to walk to the salsa place from dinner, and then it was an 8 minutes walk. And then when I do a like check on Google how long it takes for the car, right, it's about 6 minutes. And then I was like, how much difference?
Well,
so I just walk up. Then I have to wait for Uber. Yeah. And then they were like, no, you don't get Uber. I was like, okay,
you walk around the streets of Joburg at night, on your own.
Oh, yeah.
Singaporean woman, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so anyway, I got an Uber. So yeah, that's why. So
when, when I think of African, I think of funeral. You know, Tang Jolie funeral. Africa, I think of the dancing pallbearers.
It was one of the things that I wanted to do, which was to visit a funeral home. So I did write to a few funeral homes. They didn't reply to me. I actually wanted to visit them, but unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I really didn't have time. I was very stretched out with the conference, then also mixing with different entrepreneurs from other countries, then after that to the safari.
Yeah.
So what I thought was a better idea was to just talk to the locals, people who are my tour guide. How do South African actually, not celebrate, but more like how do they conduct the funeral?
Mm.
So you know, like in South Africa, you have many different tribes, and then there's also different languages. I think there are 11 official languages. So it's just very mind-blowing when you hear different tribes have different practice, right? So when I asked them, and like if you think about it, I was Googling this company, and they actually, some of them are, some countries or some tribes, they're more modern to do cremation. Because some of the tribes, they actually community, they don't do cremation.
Mm.
And then I even check out one of the website of a South African company that they do aquamation.
Mm.
So if you don't know what aquamation is, we don't have it in Singapore.
It's a cremation for gay folks.
No.
I'm going to get cancelled for this.
Yeah, aqua. It's not aqua.
Okay.
Aqua. Or maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
Aqua cremation.
Yeah. So basically, you know, cremation is using fire.
Yeah.
So aquamation is using water.
Ah.
So it was something that I wanted to visit and witness, but I think it has to be my next trip. Yeah. Because this trip, really, I didn't have the time for it.
So they just put you into the water and let the animals?
So, not animal water.
No. I mean, yeah, but that, like, okay, so in Tibet, you have the air cremation where the birds will come, the vultures will take you.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that aqua cremation will be thrown into the water where it's shark infested. No?
Yeah, you wish. Then you have no remains, you know, then everything will chow down. So basically, if you lower the body into a tank with water, and then basically the chemical in the water were
strip
the flesh. So actually years ago, I have to say that years ago there were people who came to us.
Yeah.
I'm talking about maybe a decade or so, more than that. Someone from China came to us and asked us if we wanted to install this tank into our shop, where this tank is the aquamation, and you basically you could see through. Apparently the tank is like a see-through, based on my memory. If my memory serves me correctly, of course, you know that the body will be lowered down, and then you get all the fine bones, you know. So the thought of it was quite scary for me, because then you see the whole entire skeleton, right? But at the same time, what they're trying to promote is that it has less carbon footprint. It has only 1/10 of the carbon footprint as compared to aquamation. Yeah.
Sounds like a serial killer's wet
idea.
You put inside a bathtub, then like, make sure the body
Then after that, you just grind the powder, you know, put it into a fertilizer, into a plant. Nobody know you kill somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's aquacremation for you.
Yeah, we don't know whether it's a good idea to share this concept,
right? So let's take a look at this short video that you had a conversation with the driver.
Yes.
I found it highly entertaining. So, take a look at this video.
I was actually in the car and we are going to another accommodation and it's just us in the car, so I had the opportunity to ask Suli about the culture in South Africa about funeral, and then he was sharing that he already bought a funeral cover, right?
Yes.
Yes. So tell me more about like South African funeral.
Like in South Africa, when a family member passed on, so in, for example, he or she passed on a Monday, it takes us the whole week to prepare for the funeral. The preparations include doing the death certificate, and then after after obtaining the death certificate, you must start doing the claims. Where you have a funeral cover, like the packages, that's where you start claiming after the certificate. And then on weekends, we usually do our funerals on weekends, Saturdays and Sunday. So after the whole week preparation, on a weekend, it will be a funeral.
So I heard that for the funeral, you have to slaughter a cow. You said
yes. For the funeral, you have to slaughter a car. Depend on how the person who passed on, he was famous or not. If he's a big member in the community, sometimes we slaughter a cow or two, because the whole community will come. Maybe he was a school teacher or a politician. The whole community will come, so you have to slaughter two or more cows in order to cater all the community. So our funerals are very expensive here in South Africa, because food after the funeral, everyone must eat. Yes.
And how much usually does a funeral in South Africa cost?
Yeah, like I said, it depends on family. If it's a big member of the family or in the community, it's much expensive. The cars, they usually buy the most expensive caskets, and then also it depends on the package you take with the funeral
company.
Yes, the higher package you take, the higher they pay out. But I can say average, plus minus 30,000 you spend for a funeral.
30,000 rand.
30,000 rand, yes.
That's including burial? Burial plot.
Burial, food, caskets and food. And that is, I can say it's a middle class funeral, or I mean the lower class funeral. For the high profile or working class, it's much expensive.
So yeah, I heard that in South Africa that a lot of you have actually got the funeral cover, and you just said that your wife got you one just last week or last month?
Last month, yes. My wife got one last month, because most of the people in the villages, they got, there is this funeral, like local funeral covers we call society, where women in the village, they meet every month. They contribute, they write in the book. So if one of their members passed on, they go to the group and claim. So now there is a lot of professional funeral services like AVBOB, well-known companies. So now people, they join well-known companies and also in the village. Because in the village, it's good to have one funeral cover in the village with the locals, because it helps when you have a funeral. They come and help you, because you'll need people to come and cook, clean and stuff like that.
So how much is it like usually for even the village? Because I know that the village and the professional is different price, right? So the village, how much do you all have to contribute?
The village, it costs as little as 50 rand. A month per person. But if you've got a death in the group, there is the top up money that you bring, just to top up the
difference.
Yes.
Oh.
Only when there is the premium is can as little as 50 rand every month, But when in the group there is a death, they agreed, they do a constitution that when there is a death, every member must bring maybe extra 20 rand just to top up, because you are going to withdraw money and give it to the people who claim.
Yeah.
So when there is a death in the group, there is a certain amount they bring extra, not as a premium, just to top up.
Yeah, like the village help each other to pull together the money, like the finances to help out.
Yes.
Yeah.
They select a committee, they go to the bank, they open an account. After the contribution, the following working day, they go and deposit that money. The person who's got death in the family will come and claim. Mm-hmm. But the main purpose in those groups is not like financially, it's hands, because they need each other to come and help during funeral, to work, to cook for the family, and people who come and give condolences. So the group will come and help cook, wash, and stuff like that.
So then the private company, usually how much do you have to pay on average?
The private company is it can start from around 250 rand, depend how many members you put, because they will ask you how many members are you putting. The more members you put, you include, the higher you pay. You are also allowed to put extended family, but the more you put members, the higher the premiums. Yes.
Yeah. So why does your wife think that is a good idea for you to be in this cover?
I think financial reasons, because like I said, death doesn't knock, doesn't give you a notice, a warning. It can happen anytime. So it can happen while you've got no cent in the bank, you've got nothing. So the idea is, when it happens, you are able to help the family member or to bury the member without stress, stressing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a cover and it happens anytime without, you'll end up getting to the loan, want to have loans, borrow money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's bad.
I think this is something that Singaporeans, we need to learn from the South Africans, that a lot of people I met have actually got this insurance cover. So I'm very curious, like, how do South African dress for funeral? Do you have to wear black?
So it depends on families, but mostly, yes, it's black and white.
Uh-huh.
And the ladies have to cover their head.
Okay.
They mustn't leave their hair out. For the men, and also long sleeve.
You need to wear a suit?
No. Family members, they agree on that.
Mm.
Let's all wear suit, black and stuff like that. But jacket is compulsory.
Oh.
You cannot go to a funeral wearing a shirt or something.
Mm.
Yeah. We all cover ourselves, ladies, both ladies and men.
So do you all sing and dance at the funeral?
Yes, depend on what the deceased was doing. If he was a dancer, there will be in the items, there will be a time for dancing, but singing is compulsory. We sing and dance most of the time, yes.
So is it a common set of songs to sing, or
yes,
your tribe song?
There are common sense songs, I'm sorry. There are common songs that are sang on funerals, known for mourning and giving condolence to the family. When you sing them, the family members, they feel better because they've got messages, those songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious, like, because just now you mentioned something about how long a woman and a man need to grieve when their partner passes away. So can you share that a little bit more? So when a husband passes away, how long should the wife mourn for the death?
That also depends on tribes. It depends on tribe to tribe. Some tribe, like myself, I'm a Tsonga. If your husband dies, the wife must mourn for 12 months. If the wife dies, the husband must mourn for 12 months. So it depends with tribes. Some they take 6 months, some they take 3 months, depend. from tradition to tradition, but the mourning is compulsory. So
during that time, do they have to wear black, or during those time, is there anything they can't do? Because I know that you just said that they can't date or something.
Yes, during those times, especially with the ladies, and it goes with tribes also. Some, you will recognize them wearing black. There is a certain attire. They will be in black or in navy blue. The ladies, you see, you can identify her as a mourner. You can see, and when they walk, they put their hands on their back like this, walking like this. So you know this lady, she's mourning her husband. So if it's a man, also, he will put his hands behind his back with his head covered, with his head covered with a hat or a cap.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, so it goes with different tribes.
Yes.
Different. Oh,
yes.
I see. So as a funeral attendee, like if you have to go for a funeral, what are the things that we need to bring? Like we need to bring money, or is it bring food? What do we bring for the family?
Condolence,
yeah.
Yeah, during the week, during the preparation time in the week, visitors are allowed to bring food, cash to help the family. Usually it's food.
Mm.
So on the burial day, during the service, there is a time where also we are allowed to give condolences in terms of cash for the family, yes.
Wow, so there's a lot of things to learn from South African. I learned so much this last few days, just learning about how you value life also, like the way you party, the way you enjoy life, but yet at the same time, you want to take care of your loved ones. That's why you all will do the preparation so much. Is there anything else you want to add, Suli?
So far, no. I think we covered everything.
Yes.
And then maybe what I forget is during the mourning time,
yes,
when you mourn, the men and the both men and women, you are not allowed to date during that time.
Mm.
You can't have sex until you finish
your
period, mourning period. Yes. If the family agreed that you're going to mourn for a year. As a woman, you're going to spend the whole year without dating.
Without sex, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So, do you have any advice for people who can't have sex, you know, for 1 year and then what happens, right?
So, some people, they say it's all in the mind. If you don't think about it, you won't.
You have to meditate, self-meditate. Or come to the safari a little bit more every day. Hang out with the animals. All right. Thank you so much, Suli.
You're welcome.
Oh, boy.
So this trip, it was quite interesting because I meet many different people in South Africa. Mm. So I wanted to know a little bit more about what do they do in their culture. So, of course, this driver, as we were going to another lodge in the safari, asked me, you know, it was just me and him, so asked me what I do. So when he heard about what I do, and he's like, oh, you know, it's so important to plan the funeral.
Oh.
So then that's when I realized that, you know, South Africans, they actually plan their funeral ahead of time. But maybe not plan, but more like they pay for the funeral. So they will get a funeral cover. And all the South African I met and I asked, they all said the same thing. That it's very, very important for you to pre-plan, because you don't want to be a burden to the family.
Actually, a lot of countries are into pre-planning already. And if you are open to the concept of bike insurance, that's pre-planning an accident, pre-planning a health issue.
Mm.
And death is a guarantee. It just doesn't make sense that you're not pre-planning for death.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's the part where South Africans are very, very... They sort of normalize the conversation about death. Perhaps because people just get shot down, meet an accident, you know, anything can happen in South Africa.
Mortality rate is really high.
Yeah, mortality rate is fairly high. And then when I asked what's the average life expectancy, one of the guys actually told me it was about 50-60 plus.
Wow.
Which is fairly young. So I think that's the part where they also don't want to be a burden to their family members. So if you see from the video, they actually talk about how, as a community, they put in money.
Mm.
They pool money together.
The tom team.
Yeah, tom team. I don't know what you call that.
In our kampong days, for the viewers who are not aware, in our kampung, this our grandparents era, the village head will have a tin can where everyone will put in some money, and when there's a death in the village, he uses money to sort of, you know, celebrate, not celebrate like that. Use it for the
for delivery. Help, So they actually, so when I asked him, he said they do like 50 rand, 100 rand is about $7.30. So you're talking about $3.5, $3. And then you you will have $50 rent. And then after that, if somebody dies, then everybody fork in another 20 rand. So when I asked him about how much it relatively costs, he said it's around 20,000 rand. So if you don't have in money or you don't prepare ahead of time, then you know you might not have a proper funeral for yourself.
Yeah.
And you end up your family having to get a loan. And I think there's also still this wide disparity in terms of the wealthy is really wealthy and the poor is really poor. So, but I think let's value the part where they really, really talk about death and prepare ahead of time. That to me was quite very admirable.
Well, that's one culture that don't take death for granted, because death is at the doorstep almost every other day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think for us, we get the luxury of, don't talk about death, like as if death's not coming for us.
Yeah.
I find that notion to be an ostrich putting the head in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, you may put the head in the sand and not talk about death, but when you're gone, you're not the problem anymore. You become the problem of other people around you.
Yeah, exactly. So they actually share that they don't want to be a burden. Right, so I think this is something that we Singaporeans can learn to really value the fact that we don't know when things will happen.
I think we're almost there. You know, if you look at it now, the era is what we call a sandwich generation. The children can no longer take care of the parents the way they used to. We had 3-4 children take care of 2 aging parents. Now the son or the daughter themselves have their own family and an aging parent, and cost of living is so high.
Yeah.
They can no longer sustain that. And we are aware, and that's why a lot of families are saying, I am not earning enough for myself, I don't want to burden my kid, my funeral money is all settled.
Yeah.
So we are already partially in a mindset of pre-planning for it. Maybe we are not open to the conversation yet, but the mindset is already there.
Yeah, I think, you know, like insurance now is more widely accepted. People are talking about insurance. But I guess at the end of the day, we also want to have insurance against our own passing, right? Survivorship. And I think now that COVID has happened, even more people are more aware. They want to do will writing. I have more will clients as well as pre-planning clients. They're coming to us more to do their planning. So I think definitely our society is changing. But, you know, it could be also a dinner time topic, you know. It doesn't need to be always a serious conversation. It can be, how do you want to be celebrated? Like South African, when I ask them, like, is there music? Is there dancing? Of course there's dancing, right? Of course there's music. So they will sing song that is like to grieve about the person's passing.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I think, you know, if you see in the video, what I didn't agree was that, when a man loses the... when a woman loses the husband, she has to be in grieving period for a year. So which means that she cannot date, she cannot have sex apparently for a year.
Yeah.
And then when a man loses the partner, the spouse, he just needs to be in grieving period for half a year. Six months.
Got 50% discount.
Yeah. Why? Just because
we have needs. We have needs.
I disagree, man. So that's the part that I was telling him, like, what?
I thought that quite cute as well.
Yeah, he's like, we need to procreate. It's like, and a woman doesn't.
You
know, with the age, you know, the clock ticking. Yeah. You know, come on, girls need it too.
Since we're on the topic, right? A decent, respectable amount, length of time for grieving. I give you like 3 months.
3 months?
3 months. Like, wow. I would, if I die, also because you know why? Mm-hmm. In Chinese mythology, right?
Yeah.
The spirit will come back in the 750 days and 100 days.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want to come back, look at my wife, pop in and see her with another man, you know? So at least let the 100 days pass first.
Wow, okay. As a respect, 100 days. At least 100 days.
100 days, 100 days, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I always find that
both gender.
That's fair. No, but I mean, you know, we're going for our audience now. What do you think is the right period, right, for people to be in the grieving period?
No sex grieving period, mind you. Not just grieving. No sex grieving period. How long do you think We should have that as a duration. Africans think it's 1 year for the ladies, 6 months for the men. I say 100 days for both men and women in Asian countries. What do you want?
I mean, if you're talking about sex, then I think, you know, that I know and I heard of some people who had to get out.
Yeah.
You know, they needed to get out of their grief and they find ways now, right?
So rebound sex.
Yeah, maybe rebound sex or just to let it out. But I also have heard of people who just couldn't get into the intimacy with anybody. So I think to each his own as well.
Okay.
And then, but I don't feel that it's fair to like 6 months, 1 year, because in South Africa they will be judged.
Yes.
Like within 6 months, if a girl is seen with a man, another man, then she'll be judged, right?
Yeah.
So, but here, I think in a more open society, yeah, we don't know. There are people who, yeah, the next moment, you know, and they are. There are also people who, yeah, take forever and they never move, or you never move out of grief. Like I always say, you only move forward with it. So it's how you accept and then how you move forward.
Okay. For the rest of you listening, don't give me this Aung Jolie politically correct answer, okay? I want a number from you guys listening in.
69 days. that's the magic number.
I think that's the beauty about funeral rites and culture. There is no one right and wrong. It's just so beautiful that you go to different places and you experience different culture and their different acceptability. You know, in that culture, you know, one of the beautiful things, you travel so much. You should really go with your 2 DJI Osmo Pocket 2
advice.
Really go interview people and find out how funeral culture is done around the world.
Yeah, so you know what, like,
there's a
this
Netflix
trip,
show waiting to happen.
Netflix. Yeah, I would love to have the opportunity because, you know, like, when once you listen and you actually observe, I think I talked about this in my previous podcast when I was in Varanasi. Varanasi is a, if anyone were Indian listening, the audience were Indian listening, Varanasi is actually a place where people actually go there to die. And it's such a holy place because they believe that if you go there to die and then you have your cremation done there, and then after that you go for ash scattering in that river, the Ganges River, it's actually to attain, it's the whole point is to attain enlightenment, but they call it moksha.
Moksha, yeah, idea of nirvana.
Yeah, so it's very interesting when you hear that. And when I was in Varanasi, and I actually went, unfortunately, I couldn't share those footages, but the feeling I get when I was there was a sense of peace. You know, there's no loud cries, there's no one grabbing the departed, no, none of that. It was like they coming to term, like, oh, coming here, everything is like, yeah, very peaceful, you know. And I remember that we went there a bit late in the evening, so we were trying to get out in the evening. And when the lights started to come out in the middle of the night, I mean at night, my God, it felt like I was at Times Square. It was buzzing, it was lots of lights. If you ask anybody about Varanasi, the minute I landed, I went to Varanasi, I felt like all my senses were invaded, right? So, and there was loud music, there was loud bright lights. The smell, the honking, or the constant honking, yeah. But the way they respect the departed, that to me was a very interesting concept that there's no... I mean, they're grieving, but they don't grieve in such a way where, oh, I can't, like, in denial, they have accepted it.
I can share a little bit about Indian burial as well. I was in India, North India.
Yeah.
And they will bring the body in a casket, and they will build a pyre. There will be different pyres, their crematorium, right, beside the river, and you put the stakes, family members will come in, the whole kampong will come down and help. The whole kampong, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Then you remove the body from the casket and put it in the pyre, on the log to burn. And you're supposed to burn until dusk.
Okay.
You burn until dusk, and there'll be ashes there. It is acceptable for anyone around, because it's very open, there's no room for you, no, it's just...
Exactly, there's no room.
There's no walls even.
Yes.
People can go there, take the ash from the departed, put it on their forehead.
Oh.
It's a mark of respect. And there's no fear of death. There's no fear of the deceased in the cemetery. And I was talking to young kids. I said, aren't you afraid? You know, the body's burned. And he says, no, because this is where Shiva lives.
Yeah.
It is holy ground. And the ash of the departed is holy.
Yeah.
It's not fearful. It's the opposite of fearful.
Exactly.
And... you know, but to us, like, oh, hey, now you have crematorium, scary. So it's very different culture again. And I didn't get a chance to speak with them because there were funerals going on and I didn't think it was respectful to, excuse me, mister, can I interview you, right?
Yeah, of course, of course.
But,
yeah,
I would love to do a documentary on that.
Yeah. In fact, I think, definitely, you know, the peace of them knowing that it's nearest to Shiva. And I used to, you know, wonder, like, what's this loud music that they play at the crematorium for the Hindus' funeral? Yeah. Like, in Singapore, if you know, the Hindus always have the last time slot in Singapore for the cremation.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so because they have to wash the body, they will have a lot of, you know, flowers, and they were, it's sort of like, it's a ritual, right?
Okay.
So because of the ritual, then the crematorium operators, they need to clean up. So because of that timing, that's why the cremation is always at the last time slot. And for those people who don't know, Hindus have to be cremated within the same day.
Like the Muslims?
Yeah. The Muslim will have to be buried, and then Hindus will have to be cremated within the same day. So that's why this whole part about, oh wow, going there, and then they had this loud music that I never could understand, but later on then I realized the beauty of it after Varanasi, because it's actually like a chanting, it's a prayer for Shiva. So then it became music to my ears, and I was like, wow, that's beautiful, you know. And even when I was in Varanasi, because it's a small lane, right, they're all going towards the pyre, and then we were told like, okay, move away, move the side. So it was such a small little alley. We all have to move and then lean against the wall.
The body just combined.
Yeah. So then you have four guys, you know, they're holding and they were chanting something. Mm. And then I think that one, I might have the footage. That one, I think I'm okay to share, but not the one with the pyre. So, but anyway, they were chanting and they were bringing the guy in. And there was no family members following. And then I was like, oh, okay. So no, and it looks like it's chaotic, but it's actually very organized chaos. Because when I start to observe, it's like, okay, there are like 12 bodies or 10 bodies being cremated at the same time, right? So so apparently over at Varanasi, they don't have a casket. I don't see any casket. I know that there's an entire body. So you keep hearing the cracking of the sound of the wood, firewood. And then there were people shouting here and there, but it was just a sense of calm, no one crying.
Yeah.
But always the male. I've not seen the woman in that crematorium area, only the
You might be right. Yeah, I've not seen.
Yeah, I've not seen.
I thought it was because of hard labor.
Maybe
there's a lot of carrying. And...
Yeah, but there's no, you know, female to show the extra touch. So it was just that. So then when I looked down, so there was like on a few floors.
Mm.
When I looked down, I saw one departed coming in, and then they actually placed something on the eyes. Right, they placed the coins. And they were laying a golden blanket. So apparently, the blankets are given by the family.
Mm.
So as many family would like to give, then they will lay it over them. But I always felt that the one-day funeral is very, very short. And I actually spoken to some Indian friends so that they felt that it's very short because they don't have time to grieve. So they have to rush it through. So recently, I took care of my friend's father, who he's an Indian, but he's been living in Singapore for many years.
Mm.
So instead of a one-day funeral, he said that, no, I don't care. I want my dad to have 3 days funeral. So we did a 3 days funeral, and he's actually Christian now.
Yeah.
So he then told me that, oh, you know, I have to make calls to my relative in India, explain to them, and then, yeah, because he said, I need time. And I think that's the part that Muslims and also Hindu, they have to experience that. They need time, right?
I mean, your Indian wedding 7 days, you know.
That's true.
Your funeral 1 day, eh, cannot lah. Meet me in the middle lah, 3 days.
Yeah, at least 3 days, I think something needs to change.
How dare us Chinese people telling Indian people how to run their funeral? Okay, yeah, we got funeral director here, so legit.
Yeah.
I got clout.
You know, Chinese is like 3, 5, 7.
Yeah.
1 day is really short. And I think a lot of family members, they have to rush, they have to drop everything, and then they have to come. So I think it's, like South Africa, when I was in Cape Town and I asked the tour guide, and they actually said that it may not be within the same week when you have a funeral service. It may be a few weeks later because they have to take leave, they have to apply leave, and then they all have to come back for the funeral.
Hong Kong also, Richard Ng, he passed away a month ago. His wake was just last week.
Yeah, so usually Hong Kong, 3-4 months? But the reason is...
Yes, got no space.
Yeah, they have no space, right? Space issue. So they have a space issue, and I think also there's not enough crematoriums.
Yeah.
So every culture has lessons that we can learn and apply, right? Yeah.
So what's next? Okay, this sounds like a funeral culture around the world kind of episode.
Which country next?
I want to challenge you. New Orleans. I love New Orleans. I heard the New Orleans funeral is like a jazz festival. And then there's some culture where, of course not in modern days, back then, where the wife or the servant is supposed to be buried with the master. And I know this from Sarawak, when I went to the village area. Yep. This is the Orang, Orang Dayak. They call it Orang Dayak. So there are certain tribes where if the master dies, the servant is buried along with him alive.
Alive.
I mean, when the master dies, the living servant is buried with him.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
culture. Well, just kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, to bury alive, can you imagine being buried? And then,
but I think even like the Egyptian, for them, it's an honor to serve the master. Oh, again, culture, right? So it'd be interesting to look at the mindset, the values, interesting funeral rites.
I don't think my helper will ever
Lily!
Yeah, but I think culture has changed, right? But it's interesting, like you said, what was the, in their mind and the honor to have that privilege to be buried? Would you do that? I
want to get cremated and I want to include myself, put my ashes in an hourglass.
Hourglass?
So next time.
Hey, that's a good one.
I'm a gamer, right? So when my child's a gamer as well, I teach him board games and everything. So the next time he and his children play.
That's a good one. How many of you would like to have an hourglass or ashes in
there's the ashes in dildo, ashes in the ring, ashes in hourglass is like the least weird choice of it all.
That's true, because people won't even suspect, right? That's a good idea. Maybe we could start a potential business.
Yeah.
So tell us how you feel, if this is a possible business. Is there any viability?
Looking for investors, right?
Hourglass. At first, I thought you said hourglass. I keep thinking about the woman hourglass. It's like, that's possible too. And then now,
an hourglass, literally an
hourglass. Okay, sorry, it's just my mind.
Anyway, we come to the end of this wonderful episode. We hope you guys enjoyed this. This is In Between Breaks. And we'll be bringing back our guest, as always. We're dying to meet you. Who's next?
Don't know yet. I have so many in the pipeline that I want to interview. If there's anyone interesting and there's anyone who is maybe different culture and they would like to share their story, or someone who has a near-death experience, we would like to hear from them and then interview them. So let us know. Yes.
Alright, and this is Eugene Tay.
And
Julie
May, and we're dying. See you for our next episode.
Death has always been a certainty.
That's what I like about Anjali.
It has endless topics that we can talk about.
Dying to meet you.
Welcome to my podcast.